Good morning and welcome to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show. Happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Having some issues with BTR right now, live radio, of course, and as soon as we get it squared away, we'll be on the air live. So sit back, relax, and we should be up momentarily. Once again, welcome to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show. Our calling number is 347-850-1272. We're having some technical difficulties right now with the host page. As soon as we get it up and running, we'll be back on the air. Just sit tight and hope you're enjoying your Sunday morning. We'll be with you momentarily. Good Sunday morning to you. Welcome to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Our call number is 347-850-1272. We're having some technical difficulties at this point with our host's website. We're trying to get it fixed, and as soon as we get it fixed, the show will go on. So sit back and relax, and we'll be with you in a moment. Good Sunday morning to you folks. Today is June 29th, 2014. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. We're trying to get into our host show and to our host website. We have some technical difficulties with that, but the show should be starting momentarily. So sit back and relax, grab a cup of coffee, and we have a great conversation in store for you this morning on the Serious Side. Chat room will be open as well shortly. Thanks.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show is coming up next, right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
WWE Superstar Big Show here to tell you, if you've been drinking, get a ride. Take a cab. Find another safe way to get home. Cops all across the country are cracking down on drunk driving. They will see you before you see them. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
Hey, 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 guten Tag. If you're resident, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrow right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make a do with a do, baby.
Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
This week on the Serious Side.
A male student had followed Nicole twice into the girls' bathroom at her elementary school, saying he should be allowed to use it too. That's when school officials told her she'd have to use a unisex staff bathroom.
This is an issue that 10 years ago was rarely raised, and now it's raised regularly. So getting guidance around that and having policies is going to be really important. Because it is an issue all over the state and all over the country.
Democrats said
that's
George
big.
Bush did the same, Congresswoman. I'm just saying,
and
each
so
side claiming it, waste of time. Waste
so what
of
we
time.
Need to do...
Gay marriage in Minnesota is closer to reality tonight after two separate committees passed it at the Capitol today. But the fight is far from over.
Opponents say that the process is moving too fast and the views of the whole state aren't being taken into account. Supporters say now is the time to act.
Good morning and welcome to the serious side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jams Jazz Cafe, right here on the TJRS Radio Network.
Good Sunday morning to you folks. Today is June 14th. Confused this morning. And welcome to the serious side of the J. Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio at its best. Of course, I'm J. Rouse. I want to apologize to you guys for the technical difficulties that we had this morning. Obviously, when you're dealing with live radio, you never know what could happen, but we appreciate you guys sitting tight. And if you are trying to get into the chat room, it is open right now. We look forward to hearing and seeing you real soon. But I never share the stage by myself. Let me introduce you to my panelists this morning, the one and only, the very lovely Dr. Princess Adi, the Queen of Inspiration. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Jay. How are you? How's everyone?
I tell you what, we're doing better now. We have some issues trying to get in, but we are on live. Mr. Elias will not be here this morning. And, of course, our political strategist, Jerome Esprit, comes along after he has fulfilled his commitment with Clear Channel Radio. So it's just me and the princess, which should be some very interesting conversation, because the last time I was here by myself with her, I almost had a coronary. But I'm hoping that today would be a lot better. Once again, you guys can tune in, 347-850-1272. You can join in the conversation, 347-850-1272. We have a lot to talk about this morning. And first on the plate, in Maine, all right, if you saw the header, in Maine, a transgender student won a case where now she can use the bathroom of her choice. She can either go into the men's bathroom or into the ladies' bathroom instead of being forced to use a unisex bathroom. So I wanted to talk about this morning. First of all, Dr. Prince, what do you think about this? A transgender student has won a case in Maine. Now she can use whichever bathroom she wants. If she wants to use the men's bathroom, she can. If she wants to use the female's bathroom, she can. What are your thoughts on this particular topic?
Wow. Well, I'm going to say this. First of all, I think that since she transcended herself to what she thinks that what she believes in her heart that she is, then if there is an option that was given, then it should have been one option, and the option to which she transcended to, because apparently that's what she sees herself as. If she sees
But you do know what the definition of transgender is, right?
I know what you're talking about. She's gotten a sex change.
No.
And the reason I... Okay. No. You're right. She's not a transvestite. She's a transgender, which means she dresses one way, another way, as opposed to what she is. She's like a drag queen.
Yes.
Okay, right. She's like a drag queen. Well, okay. Then this is the thing. Now, you know I always, and I don't want to give you a heart attack today, but...
Please don't. Because if you give me a heart attack, then there will be no one to run the show. So I need to stay focused. Absolutely. So
I'm totally focused, but what I say is probably going to... It's probably not the way you would expect somebody to answer. But
I would expect you to answer that way, but, you know, that's okay.
Well, okay.
I'm ready today. I'm ready for you. Go ahead.
Okay, good. Be ready. So, this is the thing. I always say, and this is the truth of us, we are spirits having a human experience. However you think in your heart, so are you. People, I want to say my understanding of individuals who are gay, okay, those are the ones who, a lot of them, you will hear them say that they just knew that they were like this for a long time, you know.
Okay.
I did a show of homosexuals, and I had about 6 gays on the panel, some teenagers and some adults, and they all had the same story of how they knew who they were when they were little. And they didn't think there was anything wrong with what they knew them saw themselves as until somebody told them that it was wrong, and typically Well, unanimously, it was via a religion, that someone's understanding of a religion for reasons they came to them as children, and, you know, when they, you know, they heard people saying that it's wrong for them to think how they have been thinking. But this
okay.
was who they felt they were from the beginning. Okay. Now, I believe, as, you know, I have no problems with individuals who are gay, okay? Not that I just get along with them. I understand them. I understand what they're saying. So that is something that I believe is the truth. I don't believe that. I know the spirit doesn't have a gender. A spirit is not a female or a male. It doesn't have a gender. And I believe our souls, I believe many of us have been here several times, and we've been different. We may have been a man one time, may have been a woman one time, okay? I believe that, okay? So in knowing that, I also believe that the core of you, as you were in one lifetime, I believe that that same trend, you transcend, you may choose to come back, but what was a part of you in the life before, I believe that it's become a part of you. So I believe that sometimes that's where it comes, where somebody says, look, I know who I am on the inside. I'm not a female. I'm a male. And
so
I'm
does that mean...
Or they
okay,
are male,
so my,
or they're male.
Okay, I understand, but my question to you is, so in other words, you don't have a problem with that then? You have no problem with a transgender person using either bathroom? I mean, you don't have a problem with that at all?
This is the thing. I believe that the only reason the person to get a sex change is maybe they have problems with operations, they don't want to do it, or whatever. I've seen men who, you know, they are like drag queens, and I mean, even in conversation, you swear to God they were a woman, and they live their life as a woman. Now, if you go to court and want to get some rights or something like that, you've made a loud statement that you feel that you're a woman. Like, you are a woman. You don't even look at a man in any kind of way, but, you know, and they are most times to the extremity. Like, oh, my God, I can't stand that son of a gun. They'll talk about a man like a woman will, and that's just who they are. That's just, they don't even see themselves as being a man in no way, shape, form, or fashion, and they've gone to the great length to show you and to make a public announcement, I am a woman. So my thing is, if you go to court and you are saying that you are a woman, then, I mean, to me it would have been more likely for them to have a right to go to the girl's bathroom and maybe not the men's. I don't know, because in the man, or, you know, because they feel they are a girl. They don't look at the girl.
They don't look at the girl how the man looks at the girl. I understand that,
but they look at a man like that.
I understand.
Right.
I understand that. But here's my issue. The way you think you are and what you are, what you have in your mind and what you have on your body are two different things. If you have a male ding-dong, then you should be taking your behind to the male bathroom.
But
that's okay, though. But fine. But to me, it really doesn't matter from a mental standpoint what you say. Oh, well, I feel that I'm a female. Really? Well, until you go through it, then guess what? Go to the male's restroom.
See, okay, listen, we are always, okay, don't let me go into a metaphysical discussion today.
Please
we
don't.
We are always confused, but I can't help it I'm just saying, because this is my knowledge, but this is, we oftentimes get confused by what we see tangibly, okay, what we see physically.
What does that mean?
And what I mean is everything, what looks like a cheesecake may not be a cheesecake. Whatever you see with your physical eye, it may not be that in reality. You know, so we are stagnated by us not being aware of the fact that, you know, even in our lives, you know, people say, well, you got to have faith. Faith is what you act on, what you don't act on what you see or what you feel. You have to act on what you know is true. What you know is true, that vision. But that vision, you don't see it tangibly. And when somebody wants to go to the limit beyond, trust me, you have to mentally be there before you ever go there. People would call you crazy and say, you are crazy. You are not this. You are not that. And you're looking at them like, what are you talking about? Yes, I am. I'm this and that and some more. You just don't see it yet, right? So when I look at the physical body, so many people, okay,
we get it twisted. People live life through this outer shell. And honestly, guys, I mean, come on. It's a vessel that inhabits what we really are as spirit. Like, it inhabits that. This is a house. This is not, don't get it twisted. It's turning to dirt. And at the end of the day, it's going to go away. It's going to go to dirt. It doesn't last forever. It doesn't. It's just gone. It's only a house that inhabits our truth. That's why people say you should live from the inside out, not from the outside in. So I'm not tripping on what I see. I'm just not, because I know that some people, I've talked to these people. I've talked to so many homosexuals and gays, and they wrestle with their own truth. I mean, for example, I changed my name, Jay. When I was little, I told my mom, I was 11 years old, all my life, I'm telling my mom, I said, Mom, I'm sorry. I got to change my name. I didn't understand it.
I understand that.
I just knew that's what it was. You know?
I'm going to have a heart attack this
morning. I understand them.
I can feel it coming, but I understand them, Jay.
Wow. I do. It sounds
well, but I hear what you're. Okay, I understand that. But my point to you is that until you make that change, you know. Listen, do I have a problem with gay people?
Until you satisfy me,
it don't have anything to do with that, Dr. Prince's idea.
Maybe they can't afford it. Maybe you got a lot of poor folks that they can't afford it. They don't even have insurance. They can't go afford it. So they're like, I'm just gonna be me. And they are proud about it, and they will beat you down for you to say anything else otherwise. It's like, look, chick, okay, or look, man. And men sometimes won't even bother them. They may say something, but it's like, look, they are gone. They are convinced of who they are, and they live as that.
Okay.
They live
All right. 14 minutes after the hour, you're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. 347-850-1272 is the call-in number. Let's bring in one of our colleagues from the J. Rouse Show, Vanessa. Good morning, Vanessa. Welcome to The Serious Side. What's going on?
Good morning. I had to tune in on this. Good morning, Princess Odelia. Princess Odelia, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Say a man or Jay is taking one of his daughters to the zoo. And she's six. And Jay doesn't want to take his daughter into the men's restroom. So Jay asks a lady to take his child into the girls' restroom. But she really isn't a lady. She's a man dressed as a lady. Princess Odelia, that is setting people up for rape. That is setting up a child. I'm just saying, that is setting up a child to be molested by a man who dressed as a woman being able to go into the restroom. Do you see everyone's point with that?
Well, I see your point with that. I see your point, and I understand exactly what you're saying. I have a daughter, okay?
Yeah,
and I have a daughter.
I don't care where to use the bathroom, but if you have not had it cut to make it a female,
okay, so let's check this. Okay, well, see, that wouldn't even matter because your point would still be, because see, the actual point is whether they cut it or not, at the end of the day, they were first who they were.
Yeah.
So we're tripping. Right.
But if you cut it, you can't rape her.
Okay, but guess what?
If he got a vagina and she got a vagina, then that's two different things. But if you are dressed as a woman and you're going into a woman, you got perverts out there and sex offenders that's going to dress as a woman. And thank God we do live in Texas, because they voted it down in Texas. So they cannot use restrooms here in Texas, in Houston, just because they dress like a woman. And I'm glad
they did,
and people were protesting because I can be a pervert. I mean, I'm not really trying to be transgender. I wasn't born like that. I'm just faking it so I can go in the bathroom and rape some people or sexually offend a little girl. You would be scared to say,
absolutely.
Ma'am.
Absolutely. See, this is what I'm talking about. For example, if a person is a trans, they are transgender, and they have chosen, you know, whatever, you know, their lifestyle to that extremity. There are some people who do it, and they're just doing it because they dress up like a woman sometimes, okay?
That's
and
her point.
Right, I understand that. And there are some people, they are bisexuals, and some of the bisexuals dress up like a woman, okay? So I don't consider that person a transgender. Now, there are some people, but who are we to know, and how do we know?
Let me stop you real quick, though, because hold on. I want to press you on something you just said, and now I'll let you finish.
Yeah.
You said you don't see that person as being transgender, but that's the definition of transgender, Dr. Princess O'Dea.
Yep.
So how
listen
do you deal with
I'm
that?
Listen to what I'm saying. Let me finish. And then you'll get what I was saying.
Okay, we have 20 minutes left in the set. Go.
First of all, I'm not going to take the whole 20 minutes. There are bisexuals, and there are some bisexuals who may choose to dress up. And what I'm saying is I'm going to give you a few points of how I understand where you were going. What I was doing previously was laying down my foundation of understanding so you'll know where I'm going in this discussion, okay? So now to take it further, bisexuals, yes, there may be somebody who choose to dress up, but they're not like a transgender. To me, a full-blown transgender is somebody. They may not have gone through the actual surgery. It's a long, long time and a lot of stuff they have to go through for that. And, you know, a lot of things that they have to go through for that, all right? And some people can't afford it. Some people have tried and they give up.
Get to
and they have gone through every length.
But that doesn't have anything to do with it.
I'm not done yet. Listen for a moment.
But transgender.
A person who is a transgender, that person is a person that we would say is completely gay, has no interest. They could care less about a woman. They could care less about a woman. They feel about a woman.
You're not answering her question.
Listen to what I'm saying. So I do.
But what you're saying doesn't make sense.
I do have a problem. I feel the problem, and I would feel very uncomfortable. Absolutely, I would. I have a daughter. Absolutely, I would. I would feel uncomfortable. But I'm saying to you guys, and I'm pressing this, you said that, okay, if they cut it off or if they don't cut it off, and you're talking about them, if you're concerned about a person who is a transgender and is a full-blown transgender, that means that person is gay. That person does not like women. It doesn't mean that they're a pervert because they're gay. It doesn't mean they're a pervert because they're transgender. Now listen to me. So whether they cut it off or not, they're a pervert anyway. So you should. So basically,
but
it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter if they cut it off or not. It shouldn't matter because it is what it is. If you're saying basically if you were born a man, be a man and keep going to the bathroom, then you need to watch your sons. And maybe you need to watch your sons. Maybe you need to watch your boys. You need to watch your little boys because the man is telling you, I like men. The man is telling you, I like men. So you put him in the boys' bathroom. Don't send your boy to the bathroom by himself, too. This is what I'm saying. So it's a really tough point. You're talking about based on your understanding that, if they cut it off, then that's the difference. No, it's
okay,
not.
Let me respond, Dr. Princess O'Dea. You've been talking for the last three minutes.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
So without going into it, yes or no, just yes or no, Princess O'Dea, do you agree that transgender people should be able to go into any restroom they choose to, yes or no?
No, I believe it should be either or, honestly. I believe there's a full-blown transgender. That person is gay. And that person
full
is telling
blown
you,
or not.
I like
Full-blown or not, because you don't know.
It's touchy. Hell, I don't know. Maybe, just answer the question, though.
It's yes or no. Yes, they can use both, or no, they can't.
I said if they're full-blown. This person is transgender. If he's gay, if he's completely gay, not somebody who's a bisexual that's dressing up as a transgender.
Oh, Dr. Princess O'Dea, listen to me. Listen, doctor, don't make me mute you.
Yes, there needs to be some type of evaluation.
Listen to me. What I'm saying to you is, and Vanessa, I love the point she brought up. The point is that you don't know if you see a male dressed as a female,
yep,
and the law says,
right,
they can walk into a female's restroom, you don't know what their status is. And so what you're
That's
doing
right.
is you're setting a precedent for men who may be perverts, who may want to go into a female's bathroom to walk in. Let me finish and I'll let you respond. I'm trying not to die this morning, but you're trying to kill me here. What I'm saying to you is that to me, when you set that precedent, it's very dangerous. Because
That's
you may, there may be some guys who may go into the female's restroom, and look, they are who they are. They think they are a female. That's fine. Who's going to be at the door to give them the litmus test to make sure that they follow or fall under what you're saying? There's no one at the door that's saying, okay, prove to me that you're a transgender and that you really want to go in here and use the restroom instead of going in here raping women. You can't set that precedent.
Okay, and you are, okay. Now you're asking, okay, I'm seeing your question. I was
My
talking on the subject
oh.
matter. I was talking on the
subject
matter.
That was the subject matter. That
okay.
is it.
No. We were talking on subject matter. Now, if there's a law, you told me about that one specific person, not if they're changing the whole law for everybody.
No, that's not what I asked you.
No.
I asked you,
you said
do you
about
have
the
a problem with
it? One particular person. You asked me about one particular person in the beginning of this show. That's what I was referencing. I was that's what I heard. So,
okay,
me.
Fine.
What I heard, hold on, pardon me, because what I heard was there was this transgender who went to court and they were approved. My thing and my thinking at that and this whole discussion has been, well, if that person went to that length, they are fighting for who they are. Now, if you want to say make an open law and everybody who dresses up like a drag queen go to the bathroom, hell no, because you don't know.
Well, there you
people
go. Thank you.
Wear costumes. Well,
that's
different, but you didn't say that. You didn't say that.
Dr.
Preston
O'Neill,
listen to me.
Calm down. Listen to me. The law says that she won her case where she can use any bathroom of her choice. Now, that law is not passed for her, Dr. Princess Odea. It's going to be for the whole state and for the whole school district. And so if you heard the post, the young man said, hey, if she can go into a female's restroom, why can't I go in there? We have the same plumbing. Why can't I walk in and use the female's bathroom? And so the point is, if you're going to set that precedent saying, hey, you have a choice. You can use either A or B.
This is my thing.
To me, that's the problem.
This is
my
thing. That is the problem. It is a problem because I'm not arguing that, but I was talking specifically to that one person. I thought that they had given her a right or whatever, but she was fighting for her.
You think they're
going to
pass a law for one person? I mean, do you know of any situation where they do that?
You said that she went to court. I could go to court for something, and they rule in my favor, and yes, it may be something that they can – whatever she fought for, and she won. So I was talking about specifically that person and specifically her situation. If you're talking about a whole go and change the state, that's
Fair
not
enough.
Cool. And this is my thing. You need to watch yourself in the woman's bathroom and a man's bathroom because no matter what, a woman that's gay, when she comes into that woman's bathroom, trust and believe, baby, if a woman is gay and she's a stud or whatever, she doesn't like men. She likes women, flat out. She likes women. And there is a probability with you not knowing someone that each person you should look at should know that there's a probability that that person could be a sex offender. Okay, so we should all watch our children. Don't send your kids to the bathroom because we have all of this going on openly. If a stud is a stud, a stud is a stud, and they only like women, period. It doesn't cross the line.
That's
with
a different
them.
Topic
okay.
for a different day.
No,
okay.
This is the point. Even for this man, if he's doing a transgender, he's gone to the great lengths to say, man, if I could, I'd cut this stuff off because I could care less about it. They go to great lengths to hide and do all kind of stuff. But at the same time, we don't know who they are. So, no, for a whole public law, I mean, oh, hell, no. That would not be acceptable at all to me.
All right.
But I was referencing to the one lady. Yes, the
Thank
one
you.
Lady and her situation. I was being understanding to where she was and just saying about the subject itself.
Thank you very much, Dr. Princess. Wow. What a way to start a show. All right, folks, I'm trying to last here. I'm here without my partners, but boy, it's going to be a tough show if I have to do it by my damn self. All right, folks, we're going to talk about suing the president. Oh, my God, it's coming up next. You're listening to The Serious Side.
Too many fathers are AWOL, missing from too many lives and too many homes. They've abandoned their responsibilities. We need families to raise our children. We need fathers to recognize that responsibility doesn't just end at conception. That doesn't just make you a father. What makes you a man is not the ability to have a child. Any fool can have a child.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
Even though I've been it for a while,
still
I smile,
hey.
Smile,
hallelujah.
You know how-
right now.
Joe would hate to see you give up now.
Because you're a winner.
You look so much better when you smile.
You look better.
You gotta have something to have sin. I want you to have joy, cause can't nobody take that from you. I see you. My.
Democrats said George Bush did the same, Congresswoman. I'm just saying,
and
each
so
side claiming it, waste
do.
Of time. Waste
so what
of
we
time.
Need to do.
Welcome back in, folks. It's 34 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network online radio at its best. Our call in number is 347-850-1272. Let's say good morning to the smartest man in the world, my lifesaver for this morning, the one and only Jerome Esprit from EspritRadio.net. Good morning, Jerome. How are you, man?
Hey, good morning, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing great now, man.
Okay.
I was praying during the break, and God answered my prayer. Thank you so much for being here this morning.
Oh, no.
And of course, Doctor. Yeah, no problem. Of course, Dr. Princess Aldea is here. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
I am doing just fabulous. How are you, Jay? And how is everyone else?
We're doing
love
great.
You,
well, I love you too. What an explosive set. And of course, Vanessa, if you want back in, just raise your hand, baby, and I'll get you back in. Folks, we're talking about, we have a great show on tap for you today. Don't forget now, coming up in about an hour and a half on a need-to-know basis with Jerome Esprit. I hope we have some stories that will make us all smile during that segment, but we have to get to the business at hand. All right, you heard the post. Neil Cabuto, 2 weeks in a row. Fox News hosts have gone after silly Republicans when they said stupid stuff. And so Michelle Bachmann appeared on Neil Cavuto's show talking about suing the president and taking the money away from the executive branch. And Neil Cavuto said, listen, you are talking stupid. This is ridiculous. I can't understand why you're even having this conversation. Why don't you guys get to the business of solving America's problems than this ridiculous nonsense that Boehner in the House is doing? Let me start with you, Jerome. Man, what is going on with these people? You're going to sue the president? Really? I mean, what
they,
the hell?
They
what,
have nothing.
They have taken this, Jerome, to a whole different level, man. I am even shocked at where we are with what they're doing to this guy in office. Your thoughts?
Well, they're not really doing anything to him. What they're doing is it's election season, right? So they have elections coming up in a few months. So they think that that's going to get their base excited. But what the people at Fox know, surprisingly enough, is that they're about to sink themselves for the next election. We're just preparing ourselves for a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate. And I think everybody can see the writing on the wall, but politicians, they're always the last to know. Because what happens when you go back in your district, you're just catering to the crazies. But we know in general election time that the crazies are not the people who put you over the top. When you're running a close race is when the crazies actually matter. But when you get your butt, swept, there is nothing you can do. And the more they keep talking like that, they know that people don't like it. And they have nothing else. Like, that is to take attention away from they're not putting any legislation forward. They've done nothing. You got two consecutive Congresses that broke the record for passing the least amount of legislation ever in the history of the country.
Mm.
I mean, with all the things going on, you know, we have internet now. We have all kind of technical things that they should be passing laws on, people having privacy issues with people flying homemade drones, looking in people's windows. They're not passing any legislation, but they can sit there and complain about the president because they think that the people at home just want them to complain about the president. But that's old news. He won twice.
You know, it's interesting you say that because, you know, boy, you're thinking that they're going to take the House back, Democrats, in this year, in 2014?
Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely. See, here's the thing when you look at it. When you split your party, right, and you don't get out the vote, right, you look at someplace like Mississippi. Mississippi, this is the first election this past primary election season that they actually used their voter ID laws, right? And that was to keep black people out of the process, and they still had a high turnout of black people, even with the voter ID laws in there. That scares the heck out of them. So the Republicans saying you're interfering with a Republican primary at record numbers, and there were a lot of black votes in there. Your voter ID laws didn't work. Didn't think they were going to work anyway, but still, they're trying everything. They're throwing the kitchen sink at it and still can't stop the momentum. So when your congressmen keep talking about impeaching the president, especially over executive orders, right? So at this point, do you know the president only has 32 executive orders? 32. Reagan at this point had 232. He has 32. He has the lowest in modern presence and the lowest ever. He has 32. So when you think about executive orders and somebody wanting to repeal an executive order, I would like to remind everyone that Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation was an executive order. You don't think they would have took that to the Supreme Court and got that thing thrown out? You wouldn't talk about big legislation that was an executive order. The Emancipation Proclamation was an executive order.
Right. I guess I just don't get, Dr. Prince's idea, why they're doing this. I mean, you know, listen, you're right, there is an election going on this year. But, I mean, for people, for this Congress to just be so inactive and to continue to have, I'm just baffled at this. This is just a terrible time for me when it comes to our country, when it comes to governing. Because, you know, listen, I knew when President Obama was elected that there would be some challenges. But look, I didn't even see this coming. I mean, this is just so blatant that, I mean, words can't explain how I feel about this country at this point. This is just blatant what they're doing. Blatant.
Well, don't feel that way about the country. That, like, you're talking about a bunch of folks who don't have any leadership, right? So once Cantor gets out of there, they don't have any House whip. Well, they have a whip, but the leadership in Congress is gone. So you got a new guy there, and John Boehner, who wanted to be taken seriously, is appalled that the president won't even talk to him no more. But he told him right at the State of the Union, if you guys don't act by the first half of this year, I am going to act, and he's been acting. So technically, they're not talking to him, which the Republicans had a problem with since 2010, is that they kept saying, he won't talk to us, he won't talk to us, he's not working with our branch of government like he should. And they're not even doing their regular job, but they're mad that he won't talk to them. Like, their problem is who is he to shun us? But he doesn't have to talk to them. Not his job. So a part of the whole thing is them being petty. But if you notice, the economy is good. You notice that we're not in financial dire straits like we were before. We're as safe as we've ever been. And everybody's bringing up petty stuff. You're talking about suing the president over, you know, suing the president who has the least amount of executive orders. You're being petty, and that is because it's an election year. So you're watching this stuff play out because there's nothing else for them to talk about in the news that will get them news coverage. They have to get news coverage. It's an election season.
Wow. Dr. Prince, what are your thoughts?
Well, I would sound redundant because I say the same thing all the time when we talk about this. I mean, you say why they do it because they want them out. And
I guess my thing is that when we think about, you know, suing the – have you even heard of this before? I've never heard of this.
No,
you're going to sue the president of the United States, and you're going to try to defund the executive branch. Listen to what I just said.
Wow.
You're going to sue the POTUS and try to defund the executive branch. I mean, are you kidding me with this nonsense?
That's not possible anyway. That's not possible, Jay. You know,
so why are they doing it then, Jerome, if it's not possible? Why?
It's not possible. They, The Constitution specifically talks about this, and the executive branch's role is totally different. So what happens is that Congress would have had to get approval from the Senate, and the Senate together, Congress, which is both, right? That's Congress. The House and the Senate is Congress. The House is acting unilaterally because the Senate, when they sent that request up there, shot it down. They're not even bringing that up. So you need both chambers to actually bring litigation against the president. You can't do it with one chamber of Congress. That's why the president said it's a stunt, because you do need both of them to actually sue one branch or the other. You can't bring lawsuits like that.
Let me ask you this.
The Constitution doesn't allow it.
Let me ask you this. The Supreme Court ruled that the president, he overstepped his boundaries on some decisions that he made. Now, how did that get to the Supreme Court?
Well, the ruling is, and it's a quirky rule, but what they said was that it's a Senate rule. It's not a rule of Congress, and it's not a rule of law. It's a Senate rule that says that there can be recess appointments by the president. And what they did is they didn't take it away from him. What they said was the majority of the rulings usually came after 10 days of recess, so they're going to create a minimum of 10 days that the Senate has to be in recess for appointments. Now, mental note, that thing doesn't even affect the president right now, because once Harry Reid took away the filibuster, that doesn't even matter what the Supreme Court just said. And they actually knew it. The Supreme Court knew it because they took away the filibuster. But that was important when they had the filibuster, because now he, again, I read last week in our news that he has a record number of female, Hispanic, Asian, Native American federal judges now. How did that happen? They
right.
took away the filibuster last year sometime. But this ruling just said that when they have these temporary, and everybody's used it, Democrats and Republicans, when you have a temporary recess, I forgot, it's a pro forma recess where it's only 2 or 3 days that you can't appoint in between the 2 and 3 days. If they're gone 10 days or more, that's when you can recess appoint. And it was met, I think, over the holidays so that they didn't have to call Congress back. So that's what the Supreme Court ruled on. But the Supreme Court, you know, was flaky and they shouldn't have did it. It's just a rule. The Senate can go back and change that rule and say he needs one day. It's a ruling on a rule.
Wow. It's interesting what we see happening in the powers, in the halls of power in Washington, D.C. It is quarter till top of the hour. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network online radio. It is best 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272. Don't forget now, you can participate in the show. You can either pick up the phone and dial that number that I just gave you, or you can write your comments on social media. Today I'm doing it all by myself, so if I don't get to your comments, if you put it out there on some obscure website, I'm sorry, I probably won't get to it, because usually my right-hand man, Mr. Elias, is in the house, but like I said, he's off this morning. He'll be back next week. So now the fact that, to me, what they've done, Dr. Prince's idea, this is just a stunt once again, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to deflect attention away from the fact that they haven't done a damn thing since they were voted in. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Zilch. This is just, it's smoke and mirrors. They haven't done anything. Jerome already said they have been the least most productive Congress in the history of this country. And yet and still they continue to, you know, to do these types of things. I am so flabbergasted by all this. I really am. And it's like we're really paying money to these people for them to represent us.
It's a desperate cry for help. They're on their way out and they're holding on. They're holding on. They've got their claws in the brick. And they are just trying to hold on. That's the problem. So, I mean, I think it's a message to us. It's an opportunity for us, too, to see them as they truly are. But they are also banking on the fact that, okay, we're hearing what information we're getting here on the J. Rouse Show. But there are many people who are not going to do their homework. And they are banking on hoping that individuals will hear the allegations and actions and hear what they're doing and just run with the ideas, just like they did the health care. They'll run with that and not do their homework and get on the bandwagon with the Republicans. But that's a desperate cry because they know that they're dying. They're becoming extinct for a little while at least. Well, extinct would mean they would be completely out, but we're going to say they're coming to a place that they're not going to be running stuff for a while. And we see that. They know that too. So this is their desperate, this was their one last cry for help.
Their last cry for help. Really?
This is not going to be the last thing they do. You know that. I mean, this is one thing. Okay, they've got this. Now they talk about, suing the president and all this. They've got that going. Okay, this is one thing. They're going to keep it going until, the election is over. This is what they're doing. I'm not going to say it's the last cry, but they're, this is it. This is what they're doing. So we shouldn't be surprised. If anything, we should build the awareness and let people know. Keep giving them the truth. Keep letting them know what's really going on so that we can educate people. I know that that should be our focus. Our focus should be to have these discussions so that we can educate people and people become more aware of the truth. And then we plug out there for people to spread these shows and share and download these shows so that we don't have some individuals who will not do their homework, who could care less, and they will run with what has been said and what accusations have been made, et cetera, and make their decisions based off of that, thinking that it's real news. This is news, but thinking that it's truth.
All right. Let's get out to the phone lines. Let's bring in one of our favorite listeners, Kavina Mann. Good morning, Kavina Mann. Welcome to the show, man. What are your thoughts on this?
Hold on, you guys. Hey, what's going on?
What's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on, Chief?
Everything's good. I like to agree with Jerome and disagree a little bit. I think that my disagreement probably was going to happen in the fall with the election. The Democrats, I don't believe that they'll be able to take back the House. And the reason why I say that is there's seven states where the popular vote is Democrat, amongst the Congress. And yet the Republicans still hold a majority of the seats. There's Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, North Carolina, and Florida, where it doesn't matter what the Democrats do, it's gerrymandered to favor the Republicans no matter what. So something would have to change between now and 2020 when the next time they'll be able to recalculate the districts. It might just be, because Democrats sat home in 2010, that screwed up the whole decade. It might be a whole decade worth of resulting in the Congress doing nothing because they're able to. A lot of the Republican, platform and strategy is do nothing anyway. They want to shut down the government that seems to favor them, the rich and the powerful, not to have a balance of their power with the government. So they prefer to do nothing. Doing nothing is a five-star reward for them. But, this is my point. I probably disagree with Jerome on that. Everything else I was agreeing with.
Okay. All right, brother. As always, man, we appreciate your comments. We appreciate your support. And we appreciate you listening to the serious side, man. Good phone call. All right, well, listen, let's talk about it, Jerome. What do you think about what he said? I mean, because, and I tell you what, I'm leaning his way a little bit as well, because I tell you what, I find it hard. Even though their numbers are down, but I've been, I've been wrong before. But, God, you really and truly think they can take the House in 2014? It's a beautiful thing if they could.
Kavina, man, I have profound respect for him. The thing that I'm assessing when I say that is what happened in 2010 with the Democrats is you're talking voter enthusiasm when it comes to people coming out to vote. The Republicans are getting old and really white, right? And so what's going on is that when you have fractures in your party, the voter turnout, although they are loyal voters, the voter turnout sometimes fluctuates. It gets stagnant. And if you watch what happened in Mississippi a few days ago, the Tea Party person came up, you know, and said how the Republican people cheated them out of their race, and the guy who's the head of the Tea Party goes on TV and said, we're going to vote Democrat just to offset the Republican. Like, they are actually really mad. They're going to slash and burn.
Oh.
Those guys don't play with each other very well. I mean, that's why they're sitting there talking about third party right now. And the third party is only going to hurt them. Now, the Democrats can mess this up. They have in the past. It's kind of why George H.W. Bush won. And, you know, the Democrats will mess it up. You elect, you nominate Hillary Clinton, you're going to lose, right? There are certain things that you can do to lose this doggone race. And I never put that past the Democrats. Democrats have been really dumb for a long time when it comes to elections. But what happens is that by default, the Republicans are hurting themselves. It's nothing that the Democrats is doing. So if the Democrats were saying, we're pointing this stuff out and we're making a case, that would just entrench the Republicans in what they normally do. They want to hate you. So it's the art of war is when somebody fights, and that's all they do, don't fight them. And that's what they want. They want to fight, and the president's not engaging them on it. Because that arguing is going to get some support in their home district. If they don't argue with them, they just look like the crazy people sitting there talking to themselves. And that's why Fox News is yelling at them. That's why they're turning on each other, because they don't have an engaged fight here. They're just looking like they're talking to themselves.
Wow. You know, that's interesting. I mean, that would be good news for people who are liberal, because, you know, the bottom line is that
I don't know if that's good news for black people.
Why is that?
Because Democrats traditionally has not looked out for black people.
I heard that. You know, people have said that.
We don't have welfare now because of Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Everybody keeps thinking that he was this great defender of black folks, but his work to welfare things, his compromise with Newt Gingrich and that Congress, actually cut a lot of things out of the black community. And so we're talking about some of the A8 programs, the programs that got black businesses government contracts, NAFTA. The unions hated Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was not a good president for working in poor people. He just really was not. And it was a part of his nature to compromise with the Republicans to get done whatever it was that he had an agenda for. He was just better than the conservative Republicans that were there. But don't get that twisted for saying that somebody is your hero because they were better than the person that hated you. Right? He was no champion of that. And that's why, you know, when I did the news, I talked about all of these historic appointments that President Obama has done and some of the things that's going on in the country, like, you know, South Dakota or North Dakota drilling 1 million barrels a day, but at the same time getting permission to export oil out of Texas. Like, you need to understand that next time we have an oil crisis, don't say drill, baby, drill. Right? We have four or five states that drill more than 1 million barrels a day. That's open market.
Right.
That's capitalism stuff. So our country has turned to favor rich people more than it favors to take care of itself. It's a matter of perspective. So black folks have to be on point to say, listen, here is why we put people in a race. Here's why. Here's how President Barack Obama became president. He didn't listen to the old-time black folks who was yelling Hillary, right? In all the black churches in the South, people were saying, this young black kid can't make it. What has he ever done for you? And people fought that black man like they had no sense. And then he ends up winning president. And now everybody's saying, well, Hillary can do what President Obama did. No, she will not. She is a Clinton. She is going through the same policies, and that's why they have so much. That's why they bump heads so much. So black people need to be conscious about a vacuum that happens in the Democratic Party when the Republican Party implodes, because the Democratic Party is conservative. It'll pat black people on the head and go, we'll take care of you. Y'all don't really need to be here. We're Democrats. That's what the problem is.
That's good. You know, that's a beautiful segue into something I need to ask Dr. Princess Adia. I think last week, Dr. Princess Adia, we asked you to get some information together and tell us why you would be voting for Hillary Clinton. And we told you we would ask you today. And so today is that day. So can you give us anything as far as why you would vote for Hillary Clinton?
Okay, this is what I'm going to say. I must apologize because I did not get an opportunity to complete that assignment.
Okay.
No, so I would like to please have a rain check until next week so that I can
okay,
do
so
that.
Okay, so next Sunday we're going to ask you policies. Do we need to send you a reminder? Because we're going
to
ask you this every Sunday until you answer the question. Okay.
No, that would be great. I did it. A daughter had two nationals this week.
Well, that's okay. We don't need to hear the reasons why. We just asked you the question. Okay, so now, talking about Hillary. So now, let me ask you this, Dr. Princess O'Dea. If Democrats have a choice between Biden and Clinton, who do you think they're going to vote for?
Right now I'm going to say Clinton.
And I'm not going to ask your reasons because you don't know your reasons at this point. You
just
think that more popular answer.
I would rather. Yes, I do.
Okay. And you know what? I tell you what, Jerome, I'll say this to you. A part of me still thinks Hillary will get the nomination, but you have done a very good job in convincing me that maybe she will not. And that if Biden steps up to the plate.
And you two sound alike, right? You have no reason for saying that, but you just want it to happen, right?
Let me put it this way.
You let her off the hook because you ask us questions.
Uh-huh.
Because you ask us questions and you're like, give me a month to think about it. And if you don't have a reason for voting for somebody, why are you voting for them?
Well, there you go.
That doesn't make any sense. Because when you start pumping somebody up, I think Hillary's going to win. Why? I don't know. I just feel she's going to win. That doesn't make any sense. I, on the other hand, more than 20-plus years, I am telling you as an assessment, the tide goes one way or another. Now, I'm not saying I won't change what I think if the tide looks different, but I am saying to you as an assessment, people pay me for assessments, right? So I'm
not
some armchair quarterback just sitting back just guessing. You can't put a guess against somebody who does this stuff for a living. So I'm not complaining. All I'm saying is that is letting off the hook of saying, yes, I think she's going to win. You sound like Chris Matthews and those guys. Like they're willing her. And this is how media works, is it pumps someone up to give you the impression so that you push them over the top. And I am telling you, that does not work, because what happens is that later on, you can't change the mind of the people. Nobody's paying attention to politics daily like that. So when it comes to actual voting, when it comes to actual voting, what happens is that people are going to, when it comes to like a month or two before the actual election, people are going to see who aligns themselves closer to what has been working. And a person who aligns himself to what's been working is Joe Biden. Hillary is going to say, we're going to do something new, things are going to be greater, and blah. Nobody's going to want to hear that nonsense. We're not in crisis anymore. That works when you're almost on the edge of a Great Depression, but Barack Obama sowed hope and change, and he made it happen, right? We're not talking about, you know, $10 gas prices and we've been hit by terrorist attack ever since 9/11. We're not even discussing that. There's no red, green, and orange status when you go to the airport anymore. Like, you don't have that. And so your crisis is not there to sell hope and change anymore. What you're going to say is we're going to stay the course and we're going to get it done. Now, I'm saying people pay me for that, but the point is that when you get ready to go into election, you check the election season and the climate to determine how you're going to run, opposed to determining how you're going to run based upon somebody's personality.
No, I agree with that. But hold on, let me say this, though. I agree with that. The deal is, hold on, and I'll let you respond. I'll give you the last word, matter of fact, Dr. Princess O'Dea. I'll say this to you, Jerome. The thing is that you are slowly but surely convincing me that Biden is going to be the one. because as far as when it comes to politics, when it comes to issues, you know, I am more in line with Biden than I am with Clinton. There's no doubt about that. But the sentiment in the air, which, by the way, last week when we talked, her numbers are starting to decline a little bit. Just in, what, a month or so, her numbers had gone from like 53% to 33%, so her numbers are dropping. And I think once Hillary Clinton, and this is what she's doing, she's trying to strategically reintroduce herself to the public. Now that people are starting to say, wait a minute, I remember this bee from 2008, you know, and then the fact that she's having some issues as far as getting her message out, you know, she's made some gaffes in this reintroduction period. Yeah, she has. She's made some gaffes.
Wait, but doesn't that suck that her president had two full terms, she's been a senator for two terms, and she's been Secretary of State, and she's making gaffes? Are you kidding me? Like,
yeah,
the
well,
problem
there you
is,
go.
Well, the problem is that the Clintons fill out what you want to hear, and then they tell you that. So for her to go around saying, we're not rich, after making about, I think Bill Clinton did, I think he made like almost $2 or $3 million in 3 months or something. Like, the point is that, of course, rich people, anybody, that's anybody in my listening voice, knows somebody who has more money than them. It's just kind of a law of nature that you usually hang out with people who have more money than you. It's just a thing, right? So rich people who have that kind of money always say, I'm not that rich. Mitt Romney said, I'm not that rich. He knows people who have more money than him, but that sucks. That sucks for everybody else who knows that your butt is rich. But you're trying to tell yourself something else. So when Clinton does that, I am telling you, she is not genuine to squat. And so people are not going to vote for her, but her supporters. She has a lot of supporters. People love Mitt Romney. They're talking about him making a comeback. Like, so what? We're
but
talking
you're right,
about
though.
The people, we're talking about the
you're
people
right.
who gave Obama the win. You need to sway them to vote for you, and that is not going
to
happen.
Yeah, they you're right. And let me say this. You are absolutely correct with that, and I think that when she starts saying those types of things, Dr. Prince's idea, the fact that, hey, you know, we were this, we were that, trying to relate to the common folk, it's starting to remind people of the antics that she pulled in 2008. And, you know, and more I'm starting to, because first I'm like, yeah, Jerome don't know what he's talking about, man, Clinton's going to win this thing. But I'm thinking now, based on the fact that people are starting to reassess her at this point, they're thinking, hey, you know what? Maybe she is, you know, she hasn't changed that much since 2008. Your thoughts, Dr. Princess Odea?
Okay, so the question is, well, the discussion is, will she win? Or is it that individuals are, based on her talk, her conversation, and her presentations now, you're starting to be reminded of what she did in the past?
That's what it is.
I understand. But we're
being reminded of the 2008 Hillary Clinton who pulled all that crap. Remember the comments she made? Oh, and the heavens are going to open, and things are going to be falling from the sky. She thought she was being snazzy, but what she was doing was she was alienating herself, and people started really taking a look at her and says, you know what, we don't want to deal with her at all.
And they're thinking she's a lot of fluff. Well,
I think she's a liar.
You know, okay. Well, if that be the case, and I'll be able to really, really go into this and we'll do a little bit more because I don't want to go based off of what everybody else is saying.
That's true.
But, yeah. So the bottom line is this. Bottom line, and I will not make a decision. I do want to say this. I don't think anybody should. You should not vote for anybody. We can have a discussion about where I feel that I'm going now, but or anybody can talk about something, but nobody should make any type of vote, an actual vote, until you have done your due diligence and you have been educated and you've made an educated vote. And that's what I'm going to say. So whether she's gone from 53% to 33%, you know, things do change. I mean, she could be this way or that way, and if she still remains and it's proven that she's a liar, or I should say it's beyond a reasonable doubt that she's someone who likes to do the fluff, the political game, like we've been getting. That's what the Republicans have given us. We've been given us playing the political game. It's been political theater. We've been falling for the okie doke.
And just kind of just falling for whatever, just the fluff. We don't want fluff anymore. We've been introduced to a wonderful president who has really kept it real with us, and he has connected with us as a people. I really believe that not only myself do I love what we've had the experience of for the last few years, I want that to continue. And I want someone that could at least come kind of close to that, that I feel that will do that. So definitely, it would lose my vote if I, after I'm done, and it's a conclusion that I could kind of draw, then, yeah, I'll have to make a different decision, you know. So I think that's
okay.
For all of us. We should take heed and, educate yourself. You know, thoroughly review your documentation, make sound decisions as best that you can, and let's continue what we've been introduced to, and that is honesty in the White House.
All right. Third set coming up. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show.
This is a test.
As we jump into the second set with laughter, a hearty laughter from Tommy Styles. Welcome back in, folks. 347-850-1272.
A show for women, by women. Is your resident not from the South? My little daughter.
Good Sunday morning to you, folks, and welcome into the serious side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jazz Jazz Cafe.
Powerhouse Sports Talk Radio.
Welcome back. You are tuning in to the True Purpose Development Show. Tonight, we...
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
There was a blind man on the roadside, and he heard a commotion, yeah. It was Jesus passing by the crowd, and he stirred his emotions. Oh, he didn't display his whole life.
That's what they say.
I'm not a
Gay marriage in Minnesota is closer to reality tonight after two separate committees passed it at the Capitol today. But the fight is far from over.
Opponents say that the process is moving too fast and the views of the whole state aren't being taken into account. Supporters say now is the time to act.
Welcome back. 347-850-1272 is our call number, 347-850-1272. Sirius Side of the J-Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Let's say good morning to our panelists. One, for the first and last time, I guess, let's say good morning to Dr. Princess Aldea, the Queen of Inspiration. Hello, Doc. How are you?
I am doing very well. Good morning, everyone.
Sound like you're away from your mic. You may want to get that squared away. And, of course, the smartest man in the world, Jerome Esprit. Good morning, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Jay. How are you?
Doing great. Mr. Elias is out today. He'll be back next Sunday. Want to say hello to some people in the chat room. What's up, Rich Sister? Good morning to you. St. Clinton, Kavina Man, of course. Easy Rider, who's always in there. And, of course, our colleague, Vanessa, she's in there hanging out with us, plus a lot of guests. Also, unfortunately, matter of fact, during the next set, I'll say hello to the people out there on social media. It's difficult when you're trying to run everything. I'm just a one-man show today, so we'll say hello to you guys as well. But you can come on down to the world-famous chat room and be a part of the conversation and participate if you like, or you can sit back and listen where you are. Just want you to get the knowledge. That's all that we're asking that you get this morning on a beautiful Sunday. Hopefully the weather's great in your neighborhood. All right, listen, folks. Last topic for the day, America. America has traditionally been more conservative. I think we can all agree upon that. But recent survey and information is showing that Americans are starting to become a little bit more liberal. We're starting to lean to the left a little bit when it comes to social matters. You know, we had a conversation earlier about the transgender girl. Kind of falls in the line, it's along those lines, if you kind of look at the numbers. Jerome, you know, we can say what we want. But when it comes to gay marriage, when it comes to those types of things, Americans are starting to say, you know, we can accept these things. When you look at birth control, you know, those numbers are high. Divorce, those numbers are high. Sex between an unmarried man and a woman, those numbers are, you know, they're right there in the 66 to 68 percentile range. The use of stem cells, those numbers are up. So when you look at this stuff, just by the trends, do you think America's starting to lean a little bit more to the left, my friend?
I wouldn't say that so much as I would say that the extremely conservative people, the old people, are dying off. I think what we don't – no, seriously, I think what we're not acknowledging in this country, especially when it comes to voting and when it comes to politics, like the conservative people aren't being replaced by more conservative people. They're being replaced by the Browning of America, right? So you're talking about, you know, suburban white kids listening to rap and all this other stuff. They have a little bit more balance than the conservatism that happened from being isolated, right? So television travels. We have a lot of cable networks now. We have a lot of what appears to be a lot more diversity. Steve Harvey on Family Feud. You know, you have things in this country that people have I'm joking, but I'm just saying that people have grown up with a little bit more diversity in this country, and I think people are really turning to a live and let live issue. Long as it doesn't affect them directly, they're just saying, hey, I don't care, long as it does not affect me directly. And I think the people who are holding on to that, the John McCain's of the world and the, you know, John Boehner's of the world, they're holding on to dear life. They're just holding on. And then rich people, the Clintons of the world, they are holding on to power. That usually aligns conservatism and rich people, just holding on to power and wealth. But I think that is going by the wayside, and that's why you always hear, like, Illuminati stuff and all of that. It's because the powerful people, the wealthy people in the world, they don't have control over the thoughts of people like they used to. Used to be able to send out a singular message and broadcast, and everybody think the same thing. Ooh, it's the commies. Now we have more Russians living in this country than we probably do a lot of other groups. You know what I mean? So I think the world, the country has changed and become more diverse that people don't look so narrowly at life so much as they did before. It's hard to program them so much.
Wow. So, Dr. Princess O'Dea, do you think that the nation is starting to trend to the left based on some of the numbers that are out there? A lot of the major conservative issues, Americans are in the 60s and in some cases 90% when it comes to do you believe these things should be in place or not. So do you see that as a trend of America, which has normally been a conservative country, starting to lean a little to the left?
Well, I actually agree with what Jerome was saying with regards to we're just becoming more liberal and we're doing things differently. And it's a younger generation and the older people are dying off. The Republicans are dying off. And I mean, people do things differently. It's definitely different, much different than what it was when I was a little girl. And I believe that, yeah, we're going to the left. We're starting to become more liberal, more open. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So now, is that a good thing? Because, you know, you hear a lot of the people on the right say things, you know, come on. Like, for example, the situation with, you know, gay marriage, you know. Now, here's my stance, and you tell me whether or not I'm leaning left or not. Do I believe in gay marriage? No. Do I have a problem with gay marriage? No. So based on that assessment, based on my answers, Jerome, where would you put me?
Wait a minute.
Did you lose Jerome?
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, so based on those answers, what does that mean? I mean, look, I don't believe in gay marriage. I believe marriage is between a man and a woman. That's just my opinion. Do I have a problem with it? No. Tough cookie to crack, I understand. What do you think? Go ahead, Dr. Princess O'Day.
I think you're one of those. You are a prime example of being a little bit more to the left. Because years ago, someone like you, a common person, common black man, would probably not even consider that. And some discussions we wouldn't even have. Like some discussions we wouldn't have about certain things, like, for example, gay marriage and even having a discussion about transgenders, even one person having the right to choose which bathroom they want to use. I mean, that wouldn't even be a discussion. So, I mean, and you just said it. It's not something I would do, but I don't have a problem with it. I know a lot of people who, for example, they're not gay. I'm not gay, but I have gay friends, and I don't have a problem with them. Years and years ago, I probably would have been I was very much to the right religiously and in all kind of ways. So it was quite different. So people are now becoming more open.
Jay. Sounds like Jerome is having some. Jerome, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. Oh,
yeah, we can hear you. Okay.
Yeah, okay. So, no, you're not liberal. Like, you're not more liberal now. I actually kind of feel
well,
the same way.
That's my opinion.
No. I'm not commenting on you. He was asking,
yeah,
did I think that he was more liberal? And,
yeah.
And I don't think so. I think that, you know, we fall into a live and let live kind of society now, right? And it's not necessarily one of those things where we agree with anything. You know, I did hear your discussion earlier. I do not want to talk about it and want no parts of the earlier conversation. But, yes, there's an issue when you start. No, seriously. I mean, I am pretty conservative. Black people are conservative. That is the big secret that people don't know, right?
Yeah.
And so when you talk about politics, people keep calling black people liberals. Black people are not liberal, right? And it's why I win so many elections to begin with, is because people assess black folks incorrectly. Not that I do black people's campaigns, but I'm just saying when you start marketing to black folks, they market in a way that they think that they want free stuff and all this other nonsense. But that is a misnomer based upon racism. But the trick is that we're conservative. And so, yes, I would have an issue with someone in a bathroom with my child that I know is not a female. When there's a couple of females going in a bathroom, I would not let them go in there. I just wouldn't do it. I can care less on what anybody thinks about that, and it's not my issue to judge anybody. I am just telling you what I would do. So what happens is that when we start to express that vocally, people like to put labels on folks and say, hey, that's homophobic, or you don't like this community. I don't give a damn about it one way or another. And we need to be really clear on that, to not put labels on ourselves. And again, that's why people can't really assess what black people are going to do voting, is because they stick labels on us and they go, and the Democrats are notorious for this, and this is why I yell about Democrats so much, is because they think that they own black people. They think they know them. They're like, this is what black folks going to do. You just do this and they'll be okay. And even black people sell that to white folks about black people. It's crazy. But anyway, it is nuts to actually believe that we became more liberal than anybody else or anything. I don't think black people are liberal.
That's interesting that you say that.
Wait, I got something for you. Have you ever seen somebody pick their nose at a restaurant? Every black person, their mother will fall out. And I think white folks don't really care. They stick a napkin up in their nose and just do. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there are things that we're really conservative about. And I mean that in joking, but there are things that disgust us, and we won't get over it.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
No,
you're right. That's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do if I saw something like that. That's just pathetic.
Ooh,
but
it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting to say that, because I know some African Americans that would probably differ with that, saying that are we more liberal? I think if you look at, okay, for example, when it comes to abortion, you know, here's the question. Or here's my response to this question that I'm trying to make up in my mind right now. What I'm saying is that I think a woman has the right to choose, right? But if I was faced with that decision, I don't think I could do it. You see what I'm saying? So I don't know what that makes me, because maybe it falls into that category, Jerome, of live and let live. I just think, you know, a woman has the right to choose, and she can do with her body as she pleases. I have no right to tell her what to do with her body. I'm just saying that if I was in a relationship with someone and a pregnancy came up and it was an unwanted pregnancy and the mother's talking about doing an abortion, I would have a problem with that. I really would. But I don't have a problem if a person chooses to make that decision.
I, you know, and I don't. Like, the issue is – is that it's legal in this country. People kill each other, kill themselves for one unwanted pregnancy because of the stigma of unwanted pregnancies. And we don't know as a society if we are just too hard on people for not conforming, or is it better off that they get the right to choose? Like, we can't, you can't have it both ways. You can't say we're a free society, you can do what you want. If you don't want to work, don't work. If you don't get paid, we can't do that. You can't say that on the other hand and not give people the right to choose what the heck they want to do. I mean, that's just contradictory to living. And so I can see why people are so confused when they come to this country, because they don't know if the country is conservative or liberal. We want to tell people what to do. That is what this country does best, is tell other people what they can and cannot do.
You know, I want to add to that, too. I want to say that, I want to throw this out there, I think that more so, too, when it comes to black people, I think that we're as a people, we're more religious, and we're more...
That's a good point.
Our ideas have been shaped by religion, and people justify what they think by their Christianity and their interpretation of it. So I don't know. I mean, okay, conservative in that regard. I mean, just let's just say religion. That's what I think, and that's what I why I believe it in so many cases outside of people putting their hands up their nose and all that kind of stuff. There's certain things we just don't do, but as a people, you don't see more commonly with us. But on the other side, when it comes to certain ideas of gay or we're talking about marriage, you know, same-sex marriage, things of that nature, people living together before they're married or doing common law marriage, you know, all those things, black people are so religious as a people. They just wouldn't do it because they think it's sin and they're going to go to hell. I'm going to say that.
Well, you know, you're right. I mean, that's an excellent point that you bring up, because a lot of the things that we do are based on our religious beliefs. You know, that's one of the reasons why the president had those issues with, you know, African-American pastors, because people were like, okay, you know, wait a minute. You're going to sit here and say that you don't have a problem with gay marriage. That's not what the Bible tells us. That's not what the Bible teaches us. So, Jerome, I see your point. You know, the bottom line is that based on our religious beliefs, we're probably more on the lines of being more conservative. But, you know, when it comes to...
No, it's not our religion, though. I just want to be clear about that.
Okay, I think that's a matter of an opinion.
No.
We are
religious. No. I'm not saying that it doesn't play a part into it, because it is kind of our religion, but it's not our religion that makes us conservative. Digging in your nose has nothing to do with what goes in the Bible. There are behavior things that happen, and we're cultured differently, right? It is very much frowned upon, and I mean this, to date your best friend's girlfriend. Like, that is very much frowned upon on the black folks' community. Not until recent, probably the last 10 years, but in white folks' circles, you can watch sitcoms where you watch Friends and they all slept with each other. And that is in a sitcom. You think Martin would have went over well if Martin would have slept with Pam, Shanae, Gina? You know what I mean? Like, our community does not accept the same type of behavior that the liberal... There's more abortion in the white community than the black community. I mean, it's just very much prominent over there. And for multiples, like for 6 and 7 abortions, same people. That happens in their community. We are a very much more conservative community, and I don't want to make this about race per se, but I am just saying that to actually talk about black folks being more liberal is kind of a misnomer. Like, black people aren't liberal. It's just not what we are. But we do have a live and let live thing. It's like mind your business. It's like the whole I'm not snitching, they don't have nothing to do with me. It's just the culture that we're in that we know that, and I'm not going to do this in a new, well, I may, but there are 2 more cases of someone sitting in jail for 17 years on a 25-year sentence, just got let out. There was somebody been in jail 20 years for something he didn't do that the prosecutors knew he didn't do. So it's hard for us to send black folks to jail for stealing a candy bar. We'll turn our back on that. Somebody, you know what I mean? Like, if somebody's in a grocery store and they took a candy bar, or a little kid grabbed a candy bar, you're not going to tell on them. culturally, we don't do that. If a white person saw you, you're going to jail, right? It's just because we measure the punishment in activity more than we determine right and wrong. We can be judgmental when it comes to religion, though. I mean, churches have pastor issues all the time.
Yeah,
oh,
sure.
By the way, and I have this really quick example of this. There's a, I'm not going to name the church because they're franchised across the country, but there's a big mega church, white pastor, a lot of black congregations around the country, and what happens is that they have sub reverends or whatever it's called, ministers that minister to the people, but the head pastor they never talk to. Well, they're leaving black churches, going to these mega churches because they don't talk to the pastor. And they don't realize, as far as the black community is concerned, is that we're judgmental. So if you know your pastor and his wife, we'll say, how come you got that car? Your kid don't go to school. We get judgmental. But if you go to a church where you don't know the pastor, you will give him all your money. That is pretty much how that goes. Right? It's a part of what the art of war is. It's why the enlisted men don't eat with the officers. You cannot, when people, it's in our humanity, when you stick close to somebody, you become really judgmental of the people you know, and the people you don't know, you give them the world.
Yeah. More of that. Your thoughts, Dr. Princess Adia?
Well, I agree I'm going to stick to my point. I do believe that, yes, I know where it doesn't make us liberal sticking your fingers up the nose and all of that, but I know one thing, that we make our decisions. I don't know too many black people that don't make our decisions off of how we view our religion, and unfortunately deprive ourselves of certain freedoms as a result of it. So, I mean, some people even religiously, even when it came to voting for President Barack Obama, because he felt certain ways about certain things in his initial election, they had campaigns from the religious side saying that he was the Antichrist. And believe it or not, at that time, I was actually kind of transforming into my consciousness where I am now. But at that time, I didn't vote for President Barack Obama because I used to be just like that. I couldn't see straight for seeing my religion. I really couldn't. I couldn't even embrace anything that anybody else was saying about something that would be contrary to my religion. And I think we have to, I will say this, we have to be careful of that for those who do practice religion. And even in that religion, I find there's so many judgments on so many different ways, such the interpretation oftentimes just tend to be very off, very off in many cases. And we really have to take try to see things as they are and understand with love, make our decisions with love, and as best we can. But I don't even know why I'm saying it. When a person is religious, they're just religious, and they think the way they think, and that's just it. And so we have to just move forward. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's getting better, because even religious people are getting a little bit more free. So it's getting a lot better.
Okay. Here are some of the percentages when it comes to certain issues, and it falls as either highly or largely acceptable. Okay, birth control, 90%. Divorce, 69%. Sex between an unmarried man and woman, 66%. Medical research using stem cells obtained from human embryos, 65%. You know, that used to be a very hot political topic. Having a baby outside of marriage, 58%, and gay and lesbian relationships, 58% as well. So when you kind of look at some of the issues, some of the main issues that we all are concerned about, you know, most of the Americans are starting to side with the majority and saying, look, you know what, birth control, 90%. You know, I mean, you know a lot of people who are Catholic, that's not a part of their equation. That's not what they want to do. But bottom line is, 90%. There are Catholics in that number, folks. You know what I'm saying? When you talk about divorce, you know, there's this thing where they say, look, once you get married, you should never, ever. This is what someone told me a long time ago. And it was really, it really played a role in my decision in my first marriage. Because, you know, they told me, listen, the Bible says, and this is what you get when you don't read the Bible, folks, because this person was a very religious person. They told me, they said, look, the Bible says that once you're married, you're always married. The only way you can get a divorce, the only way you can get a divorce is through if someone committed adultery or something like that. Outside of that, you know, if you marry someone else, you get a divorce and marry someone else, then, hey, you're committing adultery with that new wife because technically you should have never gotten divorced. And that scared the bejeebus out of me. I'm like, really? I did not know this. I took their word for it because I didn't know, and I still don't know to this day. But the thing is that when you go back and look at religion, you look at what role it plays in our daily lives, you know, good gracious, it plays a role. It makes people think about certain things that they do. And for the longest, I stayed in that relationship because of the fact that I was told that this would be the consequences of you doing that. Thank God she had an affair and let me out that whole thing. But you know, that's a different topic for a different day. But the bottom line is that when you think about it, you know, religion it really plays a role. And I'm not an overly Christian person. I'm not every Sunday I'm here with you all. You know, I believe in God and all those things. But to sit here and say that I'm a hardcore Christian and that every minute I spend outside of this form preaching the word, that'd be a lie because I'm completely opposite of that. But because of what I believe in, I made that decision. So I do think that religion play a role in some of the social matters that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. It may not play the biggest role. It may not be the only factor when you make these decisions. But these numbers are, you know, when you sit back and really kind of look at them, Jerome, they're really unprecedented as far as I'm concerned. And you may not, because of what you do, I think they're unprecedented, to be honest with you. I think we lost Jerome again. Maybe have some issues. He's back. Okay.
Hello?
Okay. Yeah, you're here.
So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's the thing about those numbers, and this is why we have a separation of church and state. Who cares what Christians say that people who are not Christians should do? We can't do that. That is being judgmental. You can't say, because if you're Christian and don't believe in birth control, do not use it. But for you to use political power to tell other people what to do is pretty much why the country was formed to begin with and why people left England and all of that other good stuff.
We are such
hypocrites when it comes down to telling other religions, telling other people, saying what it is that you will and won't allow kind of thing. It is a maddening. I mean, we spend over $1 trillion in military, right, funds. But if somebody spends $1 million just to give people coverage for, you know, if you get a birth control pill, and by the way, they're suing, Hobby Lobby is not suing for all forms of birth control. It's the morning after pill stuff is that they're saying that you're killing somebody. But anyway, we spend a lot of time on things that are frivolous to us when it comes to money, right? Mm-hmm. So do the $30 million, $20-30 million is not a lot on the federal government side for anything. We're about to spend $8 million to increase honeybee production in this country. $8 million. Nobody went through Congress for that. It's in the press report that this week. $8 million. That is nothing. So when it comes to saying that somebody can have birth control or condoms or whatever, for you to use a religion to tell somebody that they can't do something is weak, and you need to go to church, right? You need to watch what you practice and stop telling other people what they can and can't do if they're not a convert. Not your issue.
And you know, I wish it was so simple as that. I wish that people really did that. But I really believe, and I've seen it so much, I mean, is that even really realistic? That's what we're supposed to do. That's what the law says. Separate church and state, separate church and state. But guess what? If I feel that
aborting a child is evil and of Satan and is definitely a sign of the end time, and it's a sign that we're giving people rights that will put them in hell. If that's my belief and I am strong about that, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and support in any kind of way anyone who would be for something that I feel is an abomination to my understanding of God and what God requires of me. You understand?
Well,
it's like we say that, and I know that's in place, and that's just a bunch of rah, 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 because at the end of the day, people adapt and hold near their religious beliefs, and as a result of it, they make decisions. You are what you think. If they think this, and the interpretation they have, most religious, a lot of religious people, their understanding of the Bible and what's been described, they hold it so dear that it does alter everything. And just like you, Jay, there was a part in Matthew where it talks about Jesus and the discussion of divorce, et cetera, et cetera. I've read that before a million times, as I was told myself I couldn't divorce my husband, because initially when I went to the church, it was because he was abusing me. Well, they said, did he cheat on you? Well, hell, he had cheated on me. That was something he did all the time, too. But they told me that because I had forgiven him at one time, and in that block of time, I couldn't recall him cheating. Just because he had beat me, I didn't have a right. It's written, and so what? You know, at the end of the day, this is a religious country, and we are driven by religion.
Here's the thing, Jay, is that, just as a very basic understanding of life is that you can't be religious about one thing and not another, right? You can't step over homeless people and feed their dog, right? That doesn't get you any heaven any faster than telling somebody what they can or cannot do by taking birth control, right? So we live in contradiction in this country, and people pick and choose what religious aspect they want to stand on. And I know the Republicans blast the Pope for income inequality, but it's horrible that people are making minimum wage and the CEOs are getting bonuses of millions of dollars. That's horrible.
Right.
There's nothing religious about that. And so we can't pick and choose them saying, well, that's oversimplifying and it's more complex. Now, it's not more complex than the fact is that either you are or you're not. You can work that out, but that's not an issue for us to take over as legislatively. We actually should have a live and let live type of society when it comes to some things, and other things we need to regulate, like guns and stuff. But beyond that, we need to say, hey, if you want to sit on your butt and make quilt all day and sell quilts, you can do that. That's your thing. You can't tell somebody else what to do. We need to be careful as a society.
All right, folks, listen, coming up next, we're going to do a little bit of chatterbox. Before we go, we're going to take a quick look at some news stories, and then at the top of the hour, in a few minutes, it is on a need-to-know basis with our main man, Jerome Esprit. All right, folks, listen, we're winding down, but we're not done yet. Keep it locked. It is the Serious Side. Welcome in. Beautiful Sunday morning. I hope it is in your area, in your neck of the woods, and we'll be right back after this word. It won't work.
μου βγαίνουν οι βαθμίστες τράβες για να ζάνε δάλτσι με το βαρύν πρόεδρο.
The week that was in the news.
They needed to move the jets, and so instead of scrapping them, we were able to use them for reefs. It's going to help both industries, both diving and fishing. And the jets are located in state waters, which at about 74 feet. So it's really going to be a win-win for both diving and for fishing.
Though Womack continued to perform, he had various health concerns, including prostate cancer, colon cancer, and pneumonia. Then in early 2013, he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. The singer was saddened by the diagnosis, reportedly saying, "How can I not remember the songs that I wrote?" Considered to be one of soul music's greatest artists, Womack's contributions to music won't soon be forgotten.
All right, folks, it's time for before we go, a quick look at some stories that made headlines this past week. Obviously, let's start with Bobby Womack, dead and gone at the age of 70. That's pretty young in nowadays, Dr. Prince, I'll tell you. Did we lose Dr. Prince Zodia?
Yes,
I guess we did.
Nope.
Oh.
Nope. There
okay.
There we go. Yes, that is. It's pretty sad. And, well, he made great contributions with his music, and we're going to miss him.
Let me ask
it
you a question.
Young. That's young. It's
name me
it
a Bobby Womack song that he
you
is
always,
world famous for.
You always want to. I'm not even going to answer this because I'm not even going there. I don't remember all.
Oh, my God. You don't know, do you?
I know it's you. No, I, you know,
wow.
This is the thing. No,
give
no,
me
honestly,
one.
Honestly, can I
one.
Just tell you something? Can I just tell
give
you something?
Give me one. Just give
no,
me
can I just tell you something? No.
Can I have one?
You're trying to prove something.
Okay, well, we're moving on. Thank you very much.
But I know,
listen, you know, Jerome.
You know, I know what
I'll sing one for you.
Go ahead, Jerome.
If you think you're lonely now, wait until tonight, girl.
Oh, if you
that's
you're
what
yes,
I'm talking about, my brother.
Yes.
I
remember, Mike. I'm
not
going to say
it. Oh, my God. All right. Jerome, listen, man. Now, they're using these. Okay, we're past you by. They're using these jets as coral reefs. You know, I've always wondered about that. When things rust, doesn't that not mess up the water? I mean, I don't understand that.
No, actually, it kind of adds iron back. You
really?
Know, if you think, I mean, there's mercury, there's iron. There's a reason why we're iron deficient now is because people don't use cast iron. Pans anymore. Like,
really?
It all adds into the ecosystem. Like, it works. So rust actually adds an element that is actually probably good for an environment. It seems like it's not naturally made, but truly it actually works. It doesn't poison anything.
Wow. Smartest man in the world. I had no idea that was the case. I had no idea whatsoever.
Your salmon will have more iron in it. You'll have more omega-3 and all of that in your fish. It helps out.
Right. And then the other part of that is that, you know, for people who are anemic, that means you have low iron. I mean, wow. Man, see, that's why we call you the smartest man in the world. Man, that's some great knowledge. Good stuff. And on that note, it is time for Chatterbox final thoughts from the chat room and on social media. And since I'm here by myself holding it down because Mr. Elias is doing what he is doing, let me read a few for you. I have one from Easy. It says, look, in a lot of foreign countries, they have unisex bathrooms. It's a common thing. That's when we were talking about having the choice, a young lady having the choice, the transgender person having the choice to either use a male or a female bathroom. Also, Vanessa put, our gay mayor took plenty of heat and was taken off the law in Houston regarding them using public restrooms, but they can dress the way they want for work if they choose. Okay, so that once again, same topic, same, we're talking about the same thing. And Kavina writes, nothing in the country will get done until people rise up and end gerrymandering. And we were talking about, and this is a comment that Jerome had made about the possibility of Democrats taking back the Senate. Folks, if you want to participate,
oh,
and before
it.
We, well, I'm sorry, the you're right, the House.
Yeah, the
my
House.
Bad.
Yeah.
in the house. So now, folks, if you want to participate in Chatterbox, all you have to do is come to the chat room, put your information in. If it's good enough, we'll read it for you on the air, or you can put it out there on social media. We'll find it because we are surfing the web as the show continues. All right, folks, it's time for another edition of Have You Seen Me? And then after that, we'll get into On a Need-to-Know Basis with my main man, Jerome Esprit. Keep it right here, folks. I'm going to work.
Sir, have you seen this girl?
Hello, friends. I'm Jay, the host of The Jay Rouse Show and the serious side of The Jay Rouse Show. And it's time for another edition of Have You Seen Me? Where we put the spotlight on missing children of color. Tonight we're heading to Detroit, Michigan, and let me tell you right now, this is probably one of the worst stories that we've done here on Have You Seen Me. Tonight the FBI is joining in the search for children after the mom's body was found shot to death in a vacant Detroit, Michigan home on June 6th. The mother, Alicia Fox, had been shot multiple times, twice in the head, and was wrapped in blankets. The location of her two children, Kayla, and let me spell the middle name for you, N-E-V-E-A-H, Hunter, age 6, and Christian Dijon, Justice, 6 months, are unknown. Kayla is 4 foot 7 inches tall. She's 65 pounds, light skin complexion, black hair and cornrows. Police are seeking Fox's burgundy Chevy Impala, license plate number CCR-1286. If you have any information on this situation, please call the Detroit Police Department at 313-596-1240. Once again, that's 313-596-1240. Or call Crime Stoppers at 1-800-SPEAK-UP. 1-800-SPEAK-UP or dial 911. This is a tragic situation. Not only are these kids now without a mother, but they're missing. And it sounds like it could be whoever the baby's daddy is, but I don't want to be irresponsible and put that out there. Let's let the police do their job and figure out what's going on. If you'd like to see someone featured on Have You Seen Me, all you have to do is pick up the phone right now and call us, 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272, and leave your information, and we'd be more than happy to get it on the air for you. Or you can go to Facebook and post the information on our TJRS Radio Network page. Or you can reach me on Facebook. Just type in J-A-Y-R-I-L, send me a private message, and I will respond. We pray for all people missing, regardless of color. And until next time, you've been listening to Have You Seen Me, where we focus our attention on missing people of color. Take care, guys. God bless.
Somewhere in America, a mother is crying.
A family is torn.
A child is lost.
Missing. Or even abducted.
We need your help.
Contact your local police station for a listing of missing children in your area or log on to www.missingkids.com
to obtain further information regarding missing children in your local community.
What's the next face you see?
Maybe a child that will need your help.
Help support America's missing!
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
The White House petition website has been bombarded by a series of secession requests.
The White House says the scandal involving former CIA Director David Petraeus and General John Allen was a surprise to the president.
All right, folks, it's the top of the hour, or a little after the top of the hour. It's time for On a Need-to-Know Basis with our main man, Jerome Esprit. Jerome, man, what do you have in your bag of goodies this morning?
All right. Today, 5 years ago this week, we lost the world's greatest entertainer, a.k.a. the King of Pop, Michael Jackson. Did you realize it was that long ago?
Yeah, man, we were talking about that on Saturday, yesterday, man. It's just, it's a shock. It really is.
It seemed like it was just yesterday, but you know, Beyonce released a statement saying we lost one of the greatest entertainers that ever lived only 5 years ago, but his golden legacy lives on through timeless music and undeniable impact on the modern culture. And L.A. Reid from the Face Records, Mr. L.A. Reid, just said a legend impacts the world even when he's gone. MJ currently has the most albums on Billboard 200. So,
wow.
You know, nobody's forgotten Michael because he still made $600 million this year.
Yeah.
While we're at it. Now, the Obama administration said it would use Treasury funds to bolster construction of affordable rental housing and extending the life of the program aimed to help homeowners and avoid foreclosure. Now, the announcement, it was timed with the 5th anniversary of the Making Homes Affordable program that the administration, it's their initiative at the height of the economic crisis in 2009 to curb the housing sector and the runaway foreclosures. Now, according to the Treasury Department, more than $1.3 million homeowners have modified their mortgages under the program and reduced their monthly payments by about $540 a month. Can you imagine?
Wow.
All right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, as people keep saying, what is the administration doing? This didn't even go on national news, but it was a press release, and it was out there. Now, New York State has become the 23rd U.S. state to legalize the use of marijuana for medical purposes. However, smoking the drug will remain prohibited, and users will have to ingest or vaporize it. So there will be cookies and brownies on sale, apparently, in New York State sometime soon. I thought I'd share that. Now,
oh, my goodness.
A Dutch company is selling fruit-flavored electronic marijuana for parties and events. This is across Europe. Now, they produce about 10,000 e-joints a day that's manufactured by this company in China. And here's what they're saying. One particular is called InJoint. Is disposable, contained no THC, tobacco, or nicotine, and it makes it harmless and 100% legal, according to the maker. I wouldn't believe that one bit, but just... don't eat joints. Now, the product comes in six different flavors, passion fruit, green apple, red cherry. I don't know who they're trying to cater to, but it comes in different flavors. All right. Now, 40 years ago, George Lawrence creating the UPC code, you know what that is, a barcode, right? Was first put into American grocery stores. And just to let you know, for people who like trivia, the first thing that was scanned was a tin pack of Wrigley's gum. And it was scanned in 1974, cost 67 cents, a tin pack.
A tin pack? Boy, I tell you what, that's crazy. Yeah, no, that was a long time ago, that's for sure.
Yeah, man, a 10-pack of gum cost 67 cents. You can't get 2 sticks of gum out of a vending machine for less than a dollar. But that's just now.
You're right about that, my friend.
All right, now, those with bachelor's and associate's degrees earn more money over their lifetime than those who skip college. That's according to a new report released by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. That's not surprising. And for the second month in a row, the nation's black unemployment rate has decreased, according to the Labor Department, and everyone else's has gone up by a tick, although black unemployment is about 10 points higher than everybody else's, but it still went down a little bit over the last 2 months. I don't know, there's a good news, bad news in there someplace. Now,
yeah, absolutely.
In a strong defense of the digital age, the Supreme Court did rule that they may not search cell phones of people who they arrest without getting search warrants. Now, the cell phones, they said, are a powerful device unlike anything else police may find when someone is arrested. So Chief Justice Roberts said, because the phones contain so much information, police must get a warrant to look through them. Now,
yeah, I saw that.
And you know why? Do you know why this is important? By the way, this was brought by two people who was arrested, and one of them phone rang, and they looked at the number, and it said home.
they gave a different home address. They called back the number and went to his house and found drugs and guns and arrested people at the house because it said home when it rained while they had him in police custody. But the reason that this is important is because when you're texting and driving, for example, a police cannot pull you over and say, let me see your phone anymore either. You're not allowed to look at your phone.
You know, and that's something, because think about this. 10 years ago, this would not even be a part of the conversation. My, has times changed.
Hey, and Congress should be working on some stuff opposed to playing around with the president all day. That's what Congress is there for, laws. And
I agree.
Their job. Now, ABC Good Morning America, Steve Harvey and the soap opera Young and the Restless were among the winners of the 41st Daytime Emmy Awards. Now, Steve Harvey won for Outstanding Informative Talk Show and won as Game Show Host for Family Feud. Steve Harvey is winning awards, people. All right.
No comment.
Since Oprah's been gone, by the way, Mehmet Oz, the Dr. Oz show, and Katie Couric tied for Best Talk Show. We usually just say Oprah won and we are usually done, but she's not there. Mehmet Oz. All right. Legendary comedian, actor, and activist Dick Gregory is one of the honorees recently announced for the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Now, you know, Dick Gregory made his mark by using comedy to perform performance to convey political messages and both civil rights for black and white audiences. So he became a health food activist, you know, supporting raw food and vegan diets. And he credits that with keeping his lymphoma down, which he was diagnosed in 1999, which has been in remission. So if you want to know where the Dick Gregory diet came from, he in 99 was diagnosed with lymphoma, which has been in remission since 1999.
Wow, I never knew that. I just thought he just one day woke up and decided to be a health food guy. Good stuff.
See, that's what people get for it.
That's why I call you the smartest man in the world, Jerome.
No, I'm just saying, that's why we do news, right? You said
right.
Before, I watch news all the time, but didn't nobody tell you about Gregory, did they?
I never heard of it. Never knew it.
All right. And free pregnancy tests are now available in Alaskan bars and restaurants. The University of Alaska study is warning a message about drinking while being pregnant. And so 20 of their bars and restrooms will be fitted with pregnancy test dispensers. They have a two-year, $400,000 state fund grant. So apparently Alaska has the highest rate of fetal alcohol syndrome in the United States.
Well, that's because they live in Alaska. But you know what, though, when you think about that, that's a hell of a thing. You know, that's very smart, actually, if you think about it. Think about that for a second. That is very, very smart. Kudos. Well, no, the fact that you're pregnant and you're drinking. I mean, just to make sure that you cut that off. I mean, that's smart. Right?
Now, can you imagine if the bartender said, bring me back to a pregnancy test because you look pregnant, your bartender won't serve? That's a whole other story. Never mind. All right. Japan's government is considering relaxing a law that forbids late-night dancing in public establishments. I didn't know this. I know you were in the military, but did you know in Japan you couldn't go to, they don't have clubs after midnight? They don't let you dance and all of that stuff?
Wow. No, that's news. I've never been to Japan, but that's news. Wow.
Yeah, that's interesting. And by the way, I've been missing this story. I don't know why I didn't want to do it, but there's a new way to revolutionize condoms, apparently. Bill Gates Foundation is funding a $100,000 grant to make a skin-like material to revolutionize condoms. So the next generation of condoms will have, like, lubricants and drugs that can be integrated into them. So the new material will be biodegradable, eliminate latex allergies, and will affect about 5-10% of the population. But they're actually going to put drugs and stuff in condoms, which means condom use will be down once those things get... Never mind.
Actually, I can't, but okay. I think I'll reserve my comments for on Wednesday
that particular
reserve
for another day. We're still on a serious side. I have to remind myself. All right. Now, remember the story where the house cat attacked a baby and was trapped, the family, in the bedroom in Portland, Oregon?
Yeah, I remember that
story? Well, yeah. Apparently, the Animal Planet has what's called this program. It's like the Cat Whisperer, My Cat from
right.
Hell.
Yeah,
right?
I've seen that. Yeah.
They had that cat in another home, and those guys said, they need to get rid of the cat. Now, the cat turned on them. I don't know where they're going to get this. That cat, they said they diagnosed the cat with feline hyper-something syndrome, and it causes unpredictability, and they prescribed medication to calm it down. I would let that fool out in the wild. But that's just me. If you want to be wild out there. They were still feeding the cat. That is crazy in itself. All right, now Beyonce returns to HBO later this month, but Beyonce X10 is a 10-episode series of concerts starting June 29th. 4-minute segments will debut every Sunday night at 8:55, immediately before the new episodes of True Blood at 9. So the performances were shot live in various cities during her Miss Carter world tour. And they're just 4-minute segments, but hey, that's a good deal if you could cut it with HBO.
You're not lying, that is a good deal.
That is a good deal, right? Hey, nobody is ever saying that those guys do not do business. That is a good deal. Now, Lil Bow Wow is retiring his stage name again. Like, this is the third time Bow Wow changed his name from, you know, he hit the scene at 13 years old as Lil Bow Wow in 2000. He dropped the Little in 2002. And starting Monday, June 30th, he actually announced that he would like to be called his given name, Chad Moss. Stop calling him Bow Wow. He is going by his the name his mama gave him.
What is his given name again?
Chad. Chad Moss.
He should go back to Bow Wow. Okay.
You're wrong for that.
They should.
His mama's
okay.
name is... mama's name is...
All right, Chad.
I'm going to call him that. No. That was my coming to America. I just thought it was funny. The classic play of Muhammad Ali argument. If his mama's name is Chad, I'm going to call him Chad. That's what all I'm saying.
That's right. Arsenio Hall in the barbershop.
There you go.
All right, we have time for one more, man. What do you have?
All right. Now, this week in court, to satisfy George Clinton's nearly, it's $1.7 million that legal bill, this Seattle law firm has sued him to collect this money. So the Ninth Circuit ruled that George Clinton has to turn over his masters to some 1970s hits, right? The Hardcore Jollies, if you ever heard that. One Nation Under a Groove, Uncle Jam Wants You, and Electronic Spanking of War Babies. He has to give away all four of those songs because he has a $1.7 million judgment against 72-year-old George Clinton. They're giving away his
music. But wait a minute, One Nation Under a Groove should be worth that by itself.
Yeah, it should be, right? No,
hey.
Well, I guess in receivership, I guess they had a couple of more songs, and so they awarded them to some law firm.
Wow.
George Clinton just got his songs back from people who stole them to him from the old, Parliament Live album in the early 70s.
Yeah. Wow. That's
still ripping him off. All right,
that's
there
a
you
damn
have.
Shame, man. No justice, no peace, man.
Not getting even better.
All right, folks. Coming up in an NPR News update, then our final thoughts. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. The Iraqi government says it's received 5 warplanes from Russia. Baghdad says it purchased the second-hand planes to boost the military's arsenal as it battles Sunni ISIS insurgents that now control several parts of the country. Iraqi forces backed by Shiite militias are shelling the city of Tikrit, trying to regain control. But as the BBC's Jim Muir reports, which side has the upper hand is unclear.
The rebels' military council issued a statement flatly denying the Iraqi army's repeated assertion that state forces recaptured Tikrit and that what it called ISIS terrorists had fled. The rebels said the town was still firmly in their hands after the government offensive had failed, but they added that it was still coming under heavy bombardment from government positions in a military base nearby. Iraqi state television has continued to assert that the troops, backed by tanks and helicopter gunships, had overrun Tikrit following a four-pronged assault after which the ISIS fighters had broken.
The BBC's Jim Muir. President Obama is set to ask Congress for more than $2 billion to help stem an influx of immigrants, mostly unaccompanied children, believed to be entering the U.S. illegally. Facilities in South Texas are overcrowded. The mayor of McAllen, Texas, Jim Darling, says he hopes lawmakers approve the president's request.
It's not fair to our taxpayers. It's not fair to the charities who have to front those monies when really this is a federal situation.
Since October, more than 52,000 unaccompanied children have been apprehended entering the U.S. illegally over the border with Mexico. North Korea has conducted short-range rocket launches, according to South Korea. The apparent missile tests come just days before China's president is due in the South Korean capital. And as Jason Strother reports, Pyongyang's missile tests are likely to be on the agenda.
The two rockets fell into waters off North Korea's east coast. According to reports here in South Korea, military officials told reporters that these appear to be ballistic Scud missiles, which are banned under United Nations sanctions. Chinese President Xi Jinping will arrive here in Seoul later this week. He and South Korean leader Park Geun-hye are expected to discuss the North's nuclear weapons program. Beijing and Pyongyang are longtime allies, but in recent years, China has voiced frustration with its neighbor's saber-rattling. There's been international pressure on China to stop supporting the North Korean regime, which has conducted three nuclear tests. For NPR News, I'm Jason Strother in Seoul.
Folks, it's time for our final thoughts. But before we get to our final thoughts, let's sneak a phone call in here. Renee's calling. Renee, where are you calling from?
Hey, I'm calling from Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay. Missouri, okay. What's your thought?
Yeah. My thought is, I was looking over the topics that you guys have for this show, and the first topic being the right choice about the transgender student to use the bathroom of their choice. And, you know, I'm actually working on a documentary dealing with some of these things and how it's affecting specifically the black community. But I think that people are not paying as much attention to these things as they really need to be. We are just coming up in a time that is just completely unheard of. That now you have where people are, they're telling children that they can change their gender. And you cannot. It does not matter what surgery you have, injections, what hormones you take, what you put on your head, what shoes you're wearing. You are still going to be the makeup of what whoever you believe in. I'm not really a very religious person, but whomever you believe in, the creator. I do believe in a God, okay, a higher spirit, but whomever you believe in, that's who created you? That's who put you together. And how is it that we as human beings, especially as children, have the ability to say, I'm in the wrong body? And why are we not treating that as mental illness? And there was a time where even homosexuality was mental illness up until 1973. But when you have essentially a man, and it's so funny because in my job the other day, and I deal with people all across the country, I deal in transportation, and I won't say where, but I saw a transsexual man, I guess trying to be a woman, and it was just ridiculous because the thing about it is I feel like they look for society to validate them. And so when you look at something like this within the school, okay, first of all, these are children. They want everyone else to play along in what, I'm not going to say their game is or what their issue is. They want everyone else to side with them and say, oh, yeah, you are a girl. Oh, yeah, you're a boy, but they're not.
And I just think this is just a sad time. Children do not need to be privy to these kinds of things. They need to focus on school.
All right, Renee, look, so thanks for calling in. Matter of fact, why don't you call back next Sunday? Definitely want to talk to you about that documentary. Love to get you on the show. Thank you so much. Thank you for supporting the show. Please call back next Sunday. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay, thank you.
It's time for our final thoughts. Dr. Princess Odia, since we let Renee come in here, you're going to have to make it short. Give me 2 minutes. Final thoughts, please.
Thank you. Great show today. I just want to leave with this quick note. Sometimes we take for granted the value of our gifts, especially when it comes to us so easy. Know that whatever gift you learn in life, whether it be a baby or a dream that you've worked hard to fruition, it is important that you realize and take not for granted the value of that gift. Don't hold on to the book that you have because you think it's not good enough, or don't go out and do what is great for you because you think it's too easy and therefore it must not be that big of a deal. You were given that gift to share, and you were given that gift to take, to know that it is worthy. Okay. So I would like to say that, and I also want to invite people to visit TakeBackTheD.com and like the page on Facebook. We heard in earlier when we were talking about the situation with the baby that's missing, the babies that are missing. Yes. I want to invite everyone to TakeBackTheD.com and also to text HERB to 313131. Do that now.
Okay.
Thank you. Text HERB.
All right. Thank you so much.
H-E-R-B. Thank you.
Okay. Good stuff. All right. Jerome, man, final thoughts.
All right, really quickly, good show today. I just want to say I did miss a couple of things. That no-fly rules have been found unconstitutional, so if you find yourself on the no-fly list, they have to make due process available to everybody to find out why you're not on there. Sometimes your name can be mixed up, so there was no way to find out. So the courts ruled, hey, that's unconstitutional. You have to let them know. Everybody gets due process in the country. And and sales of U.S. homes have surged to a six-year high in May. I wanted to say that. And Tony Blair this week finally admitted that toppling Saddam Hussein is partly to blame for the crisis in Iraq.
Oh, really? Duh.
Yeah, he finally admitted. George Bush's boy was like, oh, it's our, my bad. He finally said that. And, and one story that I missed that will disgust you is that a high school teacher, 30 years old, got 30 months probation for sexually abusing a student at her home.
Wow.
Black or white?
No. Well, listen, are you kidding me? We know what color she is. Hey, Jesus Christ. All right, Jerome. Is that it, my friend?
No. All right. Hey, we know what happens in this country. We act like it don't happen a lot, so I wanted to make sure I put that story in there to let you know that this is happening all the time, and it's not people of color that are perpetrating all of these crimes.
That's a sad state of affairs. You know, listen, folks, I'll say this. You know, bottom line is that when it comes to the first topic that we talked about, unisex and all these different things, look, if you still have the equipment, then you need to take your ass to the appropriate bathroom. We should not set a precedent whereas if a female, if a person thinks that they're a female, they should be allowed to use a female restroom. That's ridiculous and it's bogus. And once again, kudos to our colleague for calling in and saying, what happens when you have a pervert who decides to dress like a woman only to gain access to a female bathroom to do things that he should not be doing? We really need to reassess where we're trying to go in this country, folks, when we start changing some of these laws or making some of these rulings. Not sure if that makes sense, but, you know, it's the world we live in. And even though we have some of the things that we deal with in the United States, it is still the greatest country in the world. And on that note, Dr. Princess Ardelia, if it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, what time is it, my dear?
It's time for the serious side of the James Bond Show.
Oh, my gosh, you got it right. All right, so for Jerome is free, for Dr. Princess Ardelia, thank you, everyone, for calling in and participating. Take care. God bless. And like she said, if it is Sunday, we're talking serious stuff. It is the serious side. We'll see you next week. Have a great work week and enjoy that 4th of July weekend. Take care.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.